Again. Am I loud enough for everybody? No, not for you. It's mine. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. The pastor's already said that, but I like to always try to do it and wake you up. They're watching me do beautiful music already. So good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
All right. We are here.
Yeah.
If you would take a moment, please, to look at the announcements. The announcements on the back of your bulletin. I'd like to add to the fact that we have the new members class that started this morning. We'll also have a members class on the 15th and the 22nd. And then on Thursday, we did not enter the bulletin, the Bishop Club at 12 noon. So please make plans to be there for the Friendship Club. And if I don't know if you can join the class now.
Sure you can.
So come into the new members class if you missed it this morning. In your insert, you see this church-wide workday? Please look at that. March 21st, we need all the help. Other announcements. Sunday, for today, March the 29th. We need your assistance in setting out the tables, cleaning up afterwards, and putting the tables back afterwards. So we need anyone and everyone available to help us set up and clean up for the potluck on March the 29th. That's a Sunday. Thank you. I didn't read that. The sign-up sheet on board in the hallway or by the office?
Mm-hmm.
By the office to sign up for the potluck. Please do so. I already hit the Friendship Club. And as of last week announced, the Children's Ministry is requesting donations for the Resurrection Easter Egg Hunt. Donations needed are listed in the back on the poster. And there is a box underneath that for all of the donations. Resurrection Easter Egg Hunt is scheduled for April the 4th from 10 until. At the church, the children's ages are 2 to 10. Friday night dinner, March the 20th, 6 p.m. Everyone is invited. This is like a normal Friday night dinner that we have. $50 for individuals, $25 for family, and not children under 10. Is there any other announcements that need to be made at this time?
If anybody wants a ticket, they can come see me after church in the kitchen.
Okay. Has the blue envelope? To put the money in. No. The tickets for the Friday night dinner. She has those if you would see her, please. For her being welcome.
And it's going to be. Did you tell them what it's going to be?
No.
Oh.
So stand up and tell them.
The Philip Lewis, who has Lewis Ordonez, who is a pastor, but he has his multiracial Filipino group. And they are the ones that are really hosting this Friday night dinner. So it's going to be really special because, you know, there's going to be all kinds of wonderful dishes. So I really encourage everybody to come out and support that and maybe try something you haven't had before.
Amen. What's the date again?
March 20th.
March
20th. Luis? Yes, sir. Anybody else? Okay. Let us join in the opening words. You'll find the insert table and also up on the screen. This is the third step of our Lenten journey.
It is on this journey that we will face our greed and selfishness.
It is on this journey that God will confront us.
Our hearts are ready to receive God.
Come then, let's move forward toward the cross.
Let's quickly and confidently follow Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
Lord, we come to you this day with so many things laying claim to our lives, our hearts, and our spirits. Open our ears and our hearts to hear your words of healing love. Prepare us to be faithful disciples for you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now if you stand. Hello.
Now if you'd stand and turn your head. Well, stand and do 10 jumping jacks first. And then turn to page 370 in your hymnals. Let's sing Victory to Jesus. Stay standing and turn in your hymnals to number 885. We'll have our affirmation of faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and by strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come on earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
for our children's time? I think we have some visiting children, and they're being a little shy this morning. Okay. Caleb's going to come up too. Wonderful. Wonderful. Have a seat. Thank you very much for being here. We're going to talk about cleaning house. How many of you have ever cleaned your room before? Have you cleaned your room before? Do you know when it's time to clean your room? It's time to clean your room when your mother can't find you in the morning when you go to school. That's not the time to clean your room because you've got clothes scattered all over the place and you have to pick them up and clean house. How do you know when your house needs cleaning? It's dirty. That's right. When it gets dirty. That'll do it. That'll do it. We have to have our house clean when it gets dirty. Well, Jesus did something like that today in the scripture that we're going to share in a minute or two. Jesus cleaned house in the temple. He got real angry because there were people taking advantage of other people and turned the temple of God into a marketplace. And he was really angry. Now, our bodies, the scripture says, are temples to God. And the Spirit of God lives in our bodies. So sometimes we have to clean house on the inside, not just the outside. We have to clean our hearts to make them ready to receive God. And that's a good time to do it during the season of Lent. Easter Sunday, leading up to Easter Sunday, when we think about what Jesus has done for us. One of the things we do during Lent is clean out the inside of our lives, clean out our hearts and our lives to prepare a place to come live in our hearts. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, God, that you come to us and seek us out. Help us to lead lives that are pleasing to you in all that we say and all that we do because we are your children and you love us and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You need a piece of candy before you go sit down. I was about to take the candy out from under them. You can have a piece of candy. There you go. There you go. Oh, we got some in the back that need some candy. All right.
You can take the whole basket to
them. Yeah, take the basket to them. Is there more? Okay. We need some in the back. Good. All right. I want everybody to get the candy. Children, that is. Children, that is. We're all children of God. Yeah. Can the ushers come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings? Let's pray. It is a grateful heart, God, that we come to you in praise and worship to thank you for your goodness. We know you are the author of every good and perfect gift. And we pray, oh God, that all of these gifts are used for your kingdom to make it come on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. fact, you were so hot you almost caught on fire. Yep. Well, we were watching. We were watching, just in case. Just in case. We come to this time in worship where we quiet our hearts and minds to listen for God's voice. Shut out every other sound. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And hear the Lord speak to you. And if you feel called, share a joy, a sorrow, a pain, and leave it at the Lord's feet. In prayer we pray. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we lift up your name. Loving Jesus, you came into the world and taught us your ways of love and reconciliation. You called out injustice where you saw it, even driving out the money changers from the temple. And you have called us to walk in your ways and to carry the cross. Help us, Lord, to put to death the doubts and fears that live within us. Help us, O Lord, to put to death the things that hold us back from following you with our whole hearts. Call us into discipleship, that we might serve you in the world we live in, that we might follow you all of our days, knowing that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray as you taught your disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals, number 333.
You'll join me in the reading of the scriptures this morning, found in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, doves, and money changers seated at their table, making a whip of cord. He drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume you." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "The temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the words of the Lord. Praise be to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
I told the children a joke about how do you know when your house needs cleaning. Well, I have a few others that I want to share with you before we get going. It's time to clean house when your feet stick to the floor when you walk through the kitchen. And that's about what it is at my house. It's time to clean house when the kids in the neighborhood use their fingers to write "wash me" on your dirty windows. It's time to clean house when there are more dishes in the kitchen sink than there are in the cabinets. It's time to clean house when you have enough dust bunnies under your bed to start a bunny farm. We all need to do a little house cleaning from time to time. In today's scripture lesson from the Gospel of John, we have the story of Jesus going up to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these Gospels, place this same event toward the end of Jesus' life. But John has it happening near the beginning of his life, but it doesn't matter. Whenever this happened, the story is pretty much the same from gospel to gospel. Well, Jesus goes into the temple, and there he finds all of these religious entrepreneurs taking advantage of the High Holy Day to try and make a little profit for themselves. He sees the folks who were selling animals for sacrifice, that were the sheep, the cattle, and the doves, to all the pilgrims who have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This makes him angry, because he knows that these people who have come all this way for Passover probably don't have a lot of money. In fact, they've spent all the money that they do have just to make the trip to get to Jerusalem. But what's a pilgrim to do? They need the animals for the sacrificial slaughter of the Passover meal. And since they couldn't bring animals from home, what happened is the local people saw a business opportunity in the Passover. So they sold cows and sheep and doves to the pilgrims for an inflated price and made a tidy little profit. And like all such things, it starts out small and it grows from there. They saw a business opportunity and they took it. There was a market for a product, and so they seized the moment. And over time, it had grown into a big business, not only for the sellers, but for the temple itself. Here's how it worked. The people who provide the cattle and the sheep and the doves charge a price per head. Nothing too big at first, simply whatever the market will bear, and that seems like it's not too bad of a deal. But then the temple decides that they ought to get a cut. So they charge $25 for each booth, and they can rent to the animal brokers so they can make a little profit themselves. And of course, that fee was added on to the cost of the animal. So what if it costs the pilgrims a little bit more money, a couple of bucks more? That's the price of convenience. That's the way capitalism works. And we're all good Americans. We know that capitalism is a good thing. And then maybe the priests ask for $5 for allowing the animal brokers to use the temple. They should get their cut, too. After all, if they weren't there to run things, the pilgrims would never have come in the first place. So everything's necessary, right? And if you haven't figured it out by now, these are all rationalizations. This is how we rationalize things that are morally questionable. So then the women's group decides that they need to get in on the action, and they think it's a good opportunity to raise a little money for missions. And then the trustees think, well, yeah, if everybody else is getting in on the deal, we should too. After all, it takes money to keep this building up and running and the lights and the heat on and things like that. And it's not like it's illegal. It isn't. There are no government regulations against doing this. There aren't even any religious regulations. It's just good business. You see a market, and why would you not take advantage of an opportunity? It would almost be a bigger sin not to take advantage of it. And so the money changers saw the livestock brokers making a profit, and they thought, well, here's an opportunity for us too. And on it went, until the whole Passover event had become the most profitable week of the year for the temple and its brokers. The money changers came up with all kinds of sweet deals to entice the pilgrims to buy. They offered instant credit approval, no interest the first year, no payments for 6 months. The temple was turned into a thriving marketplace. And each year, it got a little bit more expensive than the year before. And all that cost was passed on to the pilgrims who made the journey to Jerusalem. In good business, you have to maximize your earnings. So how can you know what the market will bear if you don't test it out? And every year, they paid a little bit more than the year before. So this is what had been going on. This was business as usual, and it's not against the law. It seems like no one had really questioned the morality of it. It was just a way of life in Jerusalem. That is, until Jesus came along. Jesus arrived on the scene and he saw that the pilgrims really didn't have a choice. If they wanted to participate in the Passover, they just had to suck it up and pay the price. And Jesus didn't think that this was fair. He questioned the practice in a big way. He made quite a right in front of everyone. You remember what he did? It says that he threw open the doors of the booths and drove the animals out with a whip. He pushed over the tables and poured out the coins of the money changers. And he yelled at the top of his lungs, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house into a marketplace." It was a wake-up call to the entire temple. And don't you just wish, with the way our economy has been, that Jesus had come along a couple of years ago in the United States and given us a big wake-up call before our economy went down the toilet? But wait a minute. He did come along. He's been here all along. I mean, the story is right in our Bibles in black and white in all four Gospels. We've had access to it from the time we could read. We've heard the story a million times before. But maybe it just takes a crisis to finally open our ears to being able to hear his words in a new way and allow them to be a wake-up call, not just for our churches, but for the entire nation as well. Because turning our temples, our churches, ourselves, our communities, turning our entire world into a commodity is not a good thing. It's not illegal, but maybe there are some morality questions that we need to address. Because turning everything into a marketplace is problematic, especially when it comes at such a high cost to the majority of ordinary, good, hardworking, and honest people. The good news is that we have been given this wake-up call. God has given us an opportunity to hear the word and repent and believe in the good news of Jesus the Christ. God has given us another chance to be disciples. And it's very good news for us. We can turn around. We can change our lives. We can stop turning God's house into a marketplace and focus instead on making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That is our one and only purpose, is to make disciples of Jesus the Christ for the transformation of the world. And all we've got to do, well, all we've got to do is look outside of our doors and see the world around us, not with the eyes of marketers looking for a way to sell our programs and draw the biggest crowds and the most customers. Nope. We've got to look out of our doors with the eyes of God, not our own. And I tell you, sometimes it's really hard to do that. We've got to look around our church and our neighborhood and see the real needs of God's people that are right in front of us. We don't have to go far to see the hurts, the anger, the depression, the addictions, the fear, the suffering, the cries for healing and meaning and a sense of purpose in this life that we've been given. People out there need the good news that we offer. We can't be about the business of just getting the most people we can to simply walk through our doors and sit down in our seats. It's bigger than that. We've got to be about the business of making disciples of Jesus Christ who are not only interested in being fed themselves, but who are also interested in feeding others. It cannot be achieved by fundraisers and the marketplace. It's only achieved by following Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
Please stand and turn to page 171.
Biggest budget on the block, and we don't have the biggest budget on the block, and that's a good thing because we're here to serve our community by answering God's call that He places upon our lives each and every day. And now go with the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who rests and abide with you until we meet again. Amen.